He is a good God. He is a faithful God. Be bold. Be bold. This is a journey that we've been on since this year, is be bold. Thank you, team. And I believe more than ever before, we are called to be bold now. Amen. And we cannot be bold. It's not a willpower. It's not a self-determination. It is a boldness that comes by submitting to the authority of God's word. Hallelujah. We cannot be bold in our own strength. You know, we are praying for these people and we are believing for a miracle and that these lives will be saved, and that's our prayer. And it's wonderful to encourage and clap and cheer the little ones to go out and give, you know, invite people from McDonald's, you know, eat a burger, come to church. That's a good combo, you know. But I believe that we as adults, as we grow up, somewhere along the way, we tend to compromise our boldness, compromise our understanding of the power of God's word. Amen. So I want to say, as we pray for these people, they're each name, God knows them by name. Amen. He died for them. And God's put you in their lives so you can influence them for the glory of God. So I've been thinking about this, and we talked about this for a while, and I felt, you know what, part of our challenge, part of our own being bold, we are starting Alpha Course. And we used to do Alpha Course, then COVID came, and then it took us a while to restart Alpha Course. And if you don't know what Alpha is, you can see Pastor Don, just wave. That's the man. And so we're running Alpha Course from April 28th to 10th of June. April 28th to 10th of June. 28th is a big dinner. Everyone's allowed to come. Bring someone. The only entry for you is if you bring someone. All right. And then we're going to introduce the course. No pressure on people. And then they can choose to join the course, which starts on the 29th. Of April, and we finish on the 10th of June. Amen. So keep praying. Keep praying. Can I just say, I've been journeying with somebody for a long time, and when Wednesday, they finally agreed to come to Alpha Course on the 29th. I was overjoyed. And I called somebody in church and said, hey, guess what? You know, he's agreed to come to Alpha Course. And then this person on the phone said, did you invite them to church? I said, I forgot. And but it's small steps. Amen. So look, I'm doing outreach. I'm making friends. You can make friends too. Amen. No amens. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Hey, a part of our pastoral care team, we have been announcing, we're introducing, where our pastoral care team, we've got lovely people. We are very blessed with some amazing people who actually care for the church and the needs of the church and pray with you. So every week we got pastoral care team, a couple that is rostered to just pray with you and support you. So after every Sunday service, they'll stand here. And so you can come and just share. If you have any prayer requests, they can pray with you. Amen. So we've been doing this. That will happen again this after this service. Is that cool? All right. I want to talk briefly about the property. I want to give you an update, but I'll do that after the service is finished. Is that all right? But because I want to get into the Word of God first, then I will give you an update about the property. Amen. All right. We've been we've just finished a course, a series on Be Bold. And we looked through, it's a topical series, and we looked through the book of Daniel. And if you missed any of these, they're available on YouTube, Spotify. That's about it. Okay. So please go through it. I've been listening to the messages myself, and I've been very encouraged by that. Okay, so please listen to it and be blessed by the series. Amen. Today, I want to talk about Know Your Enemy that Shannon already introduced. And I mean, I don't need to preach. He already preached it. He did a great job. And Know Your Enemy. And next week, I want to talk on Do Not Be Deceived. See, these are the tricks of the devil, and we need to know who the enemy is. We need to understand how he works, and otherwise, as in Christian life, we are very quickly deceived. And what happens is we start fighting with people instead of to fight the enemy, who is the devil. Amen. And so we have to know the enemy, who he is, how he functions, what his strategies. And then the scripture also teaches us how to fight against the enemy. Amen. And so this morning, as I share, why don't we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device. So it's important for us to know that who Satan is. It's important for us to know who our enemy is. It's important for us to study our enemy. I mean, if you're in I love American military stuff. If you know, if I've got one day, If anybody asks me, what do you want to do with your life in one day? I just want to be a U.S. president. You know why? Not to pick a war, but I just want to explore everything that the army does. And it's fascinating. You know, they have a whole organization called CIA. Yeah, right? And all they do is study the enemy. They want to know who the enemy is. We need to know how to attack the enemy. And they plan, they strategize. And as Christians, I believe, when we come into this realm of understanding the enemy, you got to know that there is a God who loves you. Amen? He has a plan and a purpose for you. His plans for you are to give you a hope. His plan for you is to give you a future and a hope, amen, not to harm you. Jeremiah 29:11. That is his plan. But we also know that there is a devil who is out there to get us. His plan is in John 10:10, very clearly revealed to us through Jesus. He says, and the devil only comes to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is not our friend. He is not our friend, and his strategies are very cunning. And so we've got to understand. And so there's this three. There's God, there's the devil, and there is us. Amen. So much of the New Testament is about spiritual battle. Much of us as Christians now, Old Testament, if they didn't like you, they'll pull the sword and they'll cut you out. And they were authorized by God to just kill people. The Ammonites, the Hittites, the pesticides, you know, all those people. You know, God was just like, kill them. It's like, boom, go kill them. But now, in the New Testament, amen, what Jesus did, he didn't abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Amen. That's why we're celebrating Easter. He fulfilled the law, but now our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and powers and all the dark forces that the enemy holds in control. Amen. So I want to give us some a background about this. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 2. Now God was talking to Ezekiel and he's saying, let's pick it up from verse 2. He says, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a God, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. And there's a bit of sarcasm, I think. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. but your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. And your heart is lifted up because of your riches. He's talking about this, particularly about this king, King of Tyre, and how he prospered and how he relied on his own strength. And now he set himself as God. Because of his success, because of his possessions, because of what he gained and earned and the reputation. And so there are five things I was thinking about it, reading about this particular king. You know, number one, one of the strategies of the enemy is pride. Amen. We all have pride, don't we? We all have pride. If you didn't think you did, well, you do. I'm talking to us Christians. We all have pride. We do. But pride is being boastful, being arrogant. And then these are five P's, you know, Pastor Peter Perimala preaching on pride, power, position, power. We all love power. Don't we? We love being in power. I love the power. I love to have the power and authority. Position. We love positions, don't we? I'm the CEO. You are the COO. I am the ABC. Whatever alphabets you want to put around your names. I am LLB. I am MBBS. You know? MBBS doctor. LLB lawyer. I'm just putting these, you know. And so especially where I come from, we don't introduce our name first, we introduce our title first. Because my identity has attached to my title, which is very dangerous, by the way. My identity should be attached to my creator, not to my work. Come on. Come on. Hi. I am Dr. Peter Perimala. Oh, even pastors. I mean, come to India, I'll show you pastors. Pastors are treated like gods. I'm Pastor Peter Perimala. Now, I often introduce myself. Hey, I'm Peter Perimala. I pastor this church. Because my identity is attached to Christ, not to what I do. Be very careful, please. Be very careful that you do not attach yourself to titles, positions, prestige. Prestige is the suburb we live in, what we drive, and all those things. And then the privilege, you know, we feel entitled, we feel privileged. You know, I went to this school, entitlement. These are some of the deceptions of the devil. And the king of Tyre got into that place of deception. Let's pick it up. Now, God is talking through Ezekiel. Now he's talking about Satan. And using example as king of Tyre, but let's jump to verse 12. Let's look at it on the screen. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were a seal of perfection." Isn't that interesting? You know, when we think of the devil, we think of two horns and a red tongue and a black, scary looking thing. That is not the image of the devil. Let's read the image of the devil here. It says, "You were a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." How cool is that? "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." I think he carried instruments on him. This is God speaking about the fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan. He was a musician. He was the chief worship leader. I'm not saying anything about our chief worship leaders here. Okay? Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, verse 14, "You were anointed cherub who covers, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Do you know what the iniquity was? Pride. It was pride. Because he was created to worship God. But he thought, this is good. Why don't you worship me? Because I am like God. And iniquity was found in him because pride found in him. By the abundance, verse 16, by the abundance of your ways from the day you were created. Okay, sorry. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries, but by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you into ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Look at what pride can do. It starts off saying you are beautiful, you are perfect, and then it finishes in verse 19 that you have become a horror and shall be no more forever. So Satan is kind of describing, God is describing about Satan. He was an angel who used to lead worship and in the presence of God, and pride entered into him, and then God kicked him out. But you can see that he was beautiful. He was an amazing, he had beauty, he had instruments on him, every precious stone, talk about bling, he had the bling. Okay, 5 carats, 6 carats, you talk about the carats, I give my rabbits carats, you know, a lot of carats. but you see, Ezekiel is saying in verse 13, he was in the garden with God. There was only 4 people really in the garden of God. It was devil, the spirit of God, and Adam and Eve initially. He had timbrels and pipes, the original worship leader. Amen. Verse 14 says, anointing cherub is being like the angelic order. He was the chief of all chiefs. But he was cast down in verse 16 from the mountain of God because he sinned. And all his beauty, he got kicked out. That is Satan. Satan got pride in him. And ever since then, he's been wanting us to worship him. Ever since then, there's been a war where God created you and I to worship him. But now, Satan wants to confuse us. His tricks and his plans and his strategies are to deceive us, because he is a deceiver, he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer. He will make us lust after things. His name is an accuser of the brethren. That's what he is. So when you and I are accusing each other, guess who is using us? Yeah. So if I'm accusing my brother, then I am allowing Satan to use me against my sister or my brother. That's what Satan does. I wrote 3 things. The strategies of the enemy is to distract, is to deceive, and to destroy. He likes to distract us. He likes to deceive us. And he destroys us. Earlier I was talking about the military. And I was watching. I love military shows. I don't know why. I just love killing, you know. Not people, but you know. I just enjoy that stuff. All the guns and everything. I think it's fascinating. So I watched Nat Geo, you know, all these big warships and whatnot. And one of these big buff guys, whoever he was, he said this strategy, he said there are three strategies on how to destroy the enemy. I forgot the third one, but I remember the first two. Number one is to isolate the enemy. Number two is to intimidate the enemy. And number three, I don't know, but I can add destroy or kill the enemy. Right, it's pretty obvious. But you see, number one is to isolate the enemy. Number two is to intimidate the enemy. And I kind of thought, wow, that's what the devil does. The devil wants to isolate us. The devil always will pick on us when we are isolated. You might be among people. See, today, the warfare, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. But the devil, what he does is he will take us. You could be in church, you could be hallelujah, you could be worshiping, and you're still isolated in your mind. He will isolate. The first thing he will do is isolate us. And what part of the fruit of isolation is we start pushing people away. We start pushing people away. And I talked about from the book of Ruth, when we did the series on Ruth, the first thing Ruth did, not Ruth, Naomi did, was she started to push the very ones that loved her. She pushed Orpah and Ruth. She said, please go away. Go away. What do I have? Why are you coming to me? I've got nothing in me. It's a deception. The devil will isolate us. Then he will intimidate us. He will torment us. And how does he do? With thoughts. Amen. But the Bible says very clearly that it says every thought that rises itself against the name of God, what are we called to do? We take authority and we pull it down. Yeah. Amen. We got to pull it down. If you think you are a loser, pull it down. If you think you're a failure, pull it down. If you think your husband doesn't love you, your wife doesn't love you, your children don't love you, well, you got to talk to them first of all. But you got to really pull those lies, pull them out. And isolation is very dangerous. So I want to encourage you, please do not be isolated in your Christian walk. Do not be isolated in your Christian walk. That's why we say, join a connect group. Have somebody speak to you. Journey with someone. Mentor with someone. Do you know what? Try to find someone who doesn't just tell you what you want to hear, but he will tell you or she will tell you what you need to hear so you can grow. Amen. Because it's easy to hang out with, you know, the worldly language is, oh, I'm going to just have another one. Fair enough, bro. You know, you had a tough day. Yeah, bro. Have another one, you know. No. You know, why don't we stand and go, no, that's not on. Yes, you won't be popular, but you will be praised by God for standing strong. Isolation. So, Satan is so clever. We think we know everything. No. He is very clever. He is so clever that he knows how to even deceive God, Jesus, when Jesus was in his weakest of moments. And that's Satan. He is a master of deception. There are three temptations Satan often uses. And he used it on Jesus. Those three are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And when Jesus was tired, when he was hungry, how many of us lose our cool when we are tired or we are hungry? And we call that hangry. If you come to my house at 6 o'clock, you will see me manifesting when I'm hangry. As I open the pantry and I stand there. And sometimes Cara cooks and I cook, but she cooks more often. And she goes, I'm cooking. Don't eat anything in the pantry. I'm like, that's okay. I just need something now. Because I'm hangry. So Satan finds even Jesus. He did not even leave Jesus. So how special are you and I? No. So he comes to Jesus, and let's pick up from Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. The tempter, he's called the tempter. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. It's like the devil's coming. I mean, we are all doing 40-day fasting prayer. Amen. I am fasting a meal that really hurts me. You know, lunch is easy for me to fast because I often don't have lunch. But I thought, no, I want to fast something that really hurts me. And every time I do it, it's like when I'm hungry and you talk about lamb shanks. Ooh. I can smell lamb shanks right now. I'm tempting you, aren't I? But you see, and the devil comes and says, this is the lust of flesh. And he says, if you turn these stones to bread, and he's tempting the lust of flesh. And I think we often have the lust of flesh. And when we go shopping, Boxing Day shopping, there's a lot of lust of flesh. Especially when you walk through malls, eating anyway, there's lust of flesh. Then there's the lust of eye, Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, if you are a son of God, look at that. That's what the devil does. He always puts a seed of doubt. If you are a son of God, surely the devil knows Jesus is the son of God. He knows. If you are a son of God. He went to Eve and said, did God really say you will die? It's a doubt. He takes the truth and he distorts the truth. If you are son of God, did God really say that? Deception. I'm waiting some stuff for deception. How we deceive ourselves. That's for next week. Lust of the eye. The power that he shows, and he said you could have. Pride of life, Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give this to you. I think today the devil tempts us quite cheaply. If you just compromise this, you will have that. If you just ignore that, you can get that. But I tell you what, to get what we want, if we ignore and compromise, you may get what you want, but your spirit is crushed because you've compromised. And we try to start justifying ourselves. It's, like, it's okay, it's only once. It always starts once. It always starts once. You talk about lust, you talk about the pride of fire, the lust of flesh, or the pride of life. It always starts once. You know, it's once. I mean, I come from India. I mean, bribe is very, very strong in India. It starts once, small, and then you're dependent on bribe. It starts once when you watch that little porn and you go, oh, it's only once. I just want to look at it once. And you're hooked into that. It's once. So be very careful. This is how. And if the devil can tempt Jesus, he will tempt you and I. Amen. But I love this part. I love this part. I want to share a little bit about God's word because Jesus knew how to fight the devil. Jesus knew how to fight the devil. He used the word. That's why we say, get into the word. My people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know what the devil's doing today? Because as Christians, we are so overeducated. We're so overeducated. We know so much of God's word. And then we go, oh, what is the point? Because it doesn't make any sense. I don't want to read it. And he deceives us. But I want to encourage you. The only way you can fight the devil is with the word. It's not with your thoughts. It's not with your willpower. It's the only way we can defeat the devil and his schemes is not by complaining, but by praising him. It's not by just sitting down and moping, but it's saying, thus says the Lord. It is written. It is written. It is written. I am not saying this because I want to, but he said it, and his word is true. Heaven and earth may fail, but his word shall remain. So I say to you, devil, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the devil will tempt you with the word, but the only way you can overcome the devil is with the word. It is written. Please read your word. Please read your word. Really, I want to encourage you. Get into the word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on it day and night. Let it not depart from your mouth. We sang that song, he won't fail. Jesus won't fail. How do we know he won't fail? Well, Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, I set my face like a flint. That means in other versions, it says, I am determined and I know you will not put me to shame. You will not put me to shame, God. That's why I know I won't fail. Now, I might fail for a season. It might look like a failure to me, but I know you are working in that. And so it is written that I may be pressed, but I am not crushed. Amen. It is written. I'm going through some difficult times, but I know I'm going to come through. It is written. I know Shannon shared his testimony. We all clapped. But there was a time just about 18 months ago, he even asked the question, is God really alive? Is he true? Is there a God? But then he had to learn to fight. It is written. It is written. How did Jesus overcome the lust of the eye? Jesus answered and said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Then over the pride of life, he says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written that I am the child of the Most High God. Hello. Hello. If you have identity crisis, let me remind you, it is written that my name is in the book of God. It is written that I am bought with the precious blood of Jesus. It is written that I have a plan and a purpose from God. It is written that his ways are higher than my ways. I don't understand his ways, but I can trust in him. It is written that he will never leave me nor forsake me. It is written when I am in the valley of shadow of death, he will not leave me, but he will lead me. It is written that when I am sick, I am healed. It is written that when I'm persecuted, Christ is there to comfort me. It is written. Can we stand on that word? Can we stand on the word of God? Yes, he will come and niggle. And God, we got to stand on the word. He will come and remind you what you did 20 years ago. Why do you want to punish yourself for what you did 20 years ago? It's gone by the blood of Jesus. You took communion today. It's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Stand on his word and say, it is written. That his mercies. Look, I've got good preachers here. Oh, hallelujah. Who cares what I did? I know it hurts people. I know I've hurt myself. I know I messed it up. I understand it. I acknowledge it. And that's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. So it is written today on the, whatever date today, 17th of March, 2024. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I've been clothed with righteousness. He put his robe on me. He gave me his ring and he gave me his shoes. I have his authority. Hallelujah. I have his identity. Come on, somebody. I have his identity. You have his identity. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Stop being critical. Don't be so critical on yourself, because you are not God of your life. So how do we stand against the devil? I want to give some scriptures. And then we're going to sing that chorus. He won't fail. 1 Peter 5:8, look at Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. This is the same Peter that was seen as a coward. This is the same Peter that failed. He had a big mouth like me. I think every Peter has a big mouth. Hey, now you guys laugh. Look at you. He had a big mouth, impulse. I'm impulse. You know, but he's saying, be sober, be vigilant. That means be alert, be ready, be awake. Because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then he comes and says, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. A lot of us want to resist the devil. And you wonder why the devil is not being resisted. But before we resist the devil, we are to submit to God. Submit to God's authority. Don't just go on binding and breaking and labeling and packaging and sending across, you know. No, first learn to submit to God. As a pastor, I'm telling you, I'm being in Bible college, and I continue to see those people that have not submitted to God's word, have not submitted to men and women who can speak into their life, and they want to call themselves as whatever they call, and they profess and going around doing what they want to do, and they walk in a very dangerous zone because they're not submitted to anybody. Once we had a lady here who came and said she's the prophetess of God. It was an interesting conversation. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Can I say, what James is saying is, you have authority to, when you submit yourself to God, under the word of God, you have authority then to resist the devil. Amen. So when the devil is tormenting you in your mind, when the lights are off, but the lights are still on, come on. The lights are still on, it's 2 a.m. and you cannot sleep because the light is so bright. And you're being tormented by the devil about your future, your parents' future, your children's future. You're worried about finances. You're worried about your health. You're worried about whatever. Sometimes you're even worried about you haven't finished your binge-watching series. Oh, no, I should watch it. You know, there's this whole FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. Oh, I got to get there. And I tell you what, when you're tormented, that's when you submit yourself and then resist the devil. Come on. He will attack you in your isolation. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? I love this word. Look at this. I underlined. Is it underlined there? No, it's not. As I read, I want you to count how many times against is mentioned here. Okay? 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are six against. Six against. We do not fight against people. We do not fight. Remember when Jesus and Peter were having a conversation and Peter said to Jesus, no, you cannot die. And Jesus says, Satan, I'm not calling you Satan. As soon as I looked at you, you're not Satan, but Satan. And he's turning away because he doesn't want me to look at him now. He's stronger than me. I better not look at him. I better not look at anybody. But he says, Satan, get behind me. You know, when people are mean to you, when people are nasty to you, when people are attacking you continuously, it's the devil that's gotten hold of them. Don't give ammunition to those people because they'll fight even more. But if you can love them, it's easier said than done. But if we can love them, instead of saying if you can love them, if we can love them, amen. Loving is far more challenging than attacking people. Trust me, it's not easy to love people. Some of you are thinking, yeah, it's not easy to love you, Peter. Well, I keep telling my mother-in-law, God put me in her life for a reason. And she keeps calling me, you lying hound. My wrestle is not against my mother-in-law. Amen. And your wrestle is not against your father-in-law. Amen, ladies. Oh, son-in-laws. I don't uncover. Our wrestle is not against wife and husband, brothers and sisters, parents and children. Parents, don't exasperate your children, the Bible says. Fathers especially, don't exasperate your children. Our wrestle is not against people, amen? So, if you have issues with you, can I say, mother-in-law's met a lady when we were in Christchurch. And I went to her house one day and I was talking to her. And she was talking about a mother-in-law with so much passion. And with emphatically, she kept saying how a mother-in-law mistreated her. And I kept hearing about it for 45 minutes. I was being polite, let it come out. And then in the end of that conversation, so I said, so where is your mother-in-law? Oh, no, she died 20 years ago. The sobering thought is the mother-in-law's been in the grave or heaven. God knows. I didn't go there. Wherever the mother-in-law is, 20 years she's been dead, but this lady held on to it like it just happened yesterday. Time to let it go, let it go. Amen. Time to let it go. The danger for us as Christians is, you see, prodigal son will get restoration, healing quickly. But for some of us who have been good Christians, fulfilling the law, we struggle to forgive. Because we go, why should I forgive him? Look at it, the way he's looking at me. I'm picky. Why should I forgive him? He's always putting me down. Why should I? He hurts me. I nearly sounded like Gollum. My precious wound. Forgive people. It's dangerous. Forgive people. My last scripture, 1 John 4, 4. It says, you are God. You are of God, little children. And have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I want to say this to us all. Jesus is in us. Amen. We can overcome. You can overcome any mountain with the help of God. If your marriage is in a dry place, you can overcome that. If your relationship with your sons or siblings or boss or business, you can overcome that. If you're in your own head, you are struggling and you losing yourself, you can overcome that, because the day you gave your heart to God, your spiritual birthday, hallelujah, He resides in you. The Lion of Judah is in you, and you can overcome because He is in you, He's with you, and He will help you. Amen. Somebody wants to come and lead worship now. Like his mother. Yeah, we need to get the mother up sometime. Hey, mother. Hallelujah. Can we have the worship team? This morning, as we conclude, know the enemy. You have to know the enemy, but more than that, you got to know the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. Please read the Word of God. You cannot fight the devil in your strength. We need the word. Amen. Read the word. Read the word. As we sing that chorus, as we end the service, as we sing that chorus, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Hallelujah. As we stand on His word, I don't know what you're being tormented by, but today you can take authority. You can resist the devil, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Can we stand to our feet? And we talked about this last week. God has given you authority. If your past is torturing you, today is the day for His new mercies. Can I ask you to please stand to your feet? Today is the day. I want you to participate with me now. Today is your day to stand on His word and declare